Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of the Make Comics podcast from Comics Experience, where we talk about different topics related to making comics. And today we have a question that came in from Levi Sweeney. Levi writes, I have a question for the podcast. I understand being a comic book writer doesn't often pay well. What are some good side jobs that you would recommend for somebody writing or drawing comics? And that, Andy, we were talking a little bit before we started recording. To me, that's a little bit broad in a couple ways, but, you know, just taking it as the you are going to need some sort of income to live and do things. But you also want to write comics. So how does one start? The specific question, good side jobs, when I was thinking about that, you know, it just seems like I guess it's kind of whatever your job is and whatever you're doing. And I don't know, you know, on the editorial side with the folks that you've worked with, if you had a thought, if there's like a typical, like all these people came from writing or all these people, since we do have writing or drawing in the question, people were already doing something related to comics. But for me, you know, a lot of my friends in comics, completely unrelated fields, do completely unrelated things, maybe some writing, but for the most part, you know, comics is a passion and it's something that they want to do when they make their own comics or if they're looking to get a job with a publisher.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think and I'm kind of rolling through all these different people in my mind. Like, what, like, who has told me, like, hey, what, the, like, if they're a career comics person now, like, what were they doing when they were, when they weren't a career comics person? And, you know, I know a lot of people that were security guards. I know a lot of people that were lawyers. I know a lot of people that were, I know one doctor. You know, like there were people, I know a bunch of people that were in the military, you know, so what's, but what's kind of interesting when I kind of look at like what was the value in terms of helping them with comics, it kind of falls into a couple of sort of broad categories. And I mean, the one thing they all did, right, was what you mentioned, was provide income so that I can live.
Right.
Right. So, you know, prior to working in comics, and actually even for a time when I was working in comics, I also waited tables. You know, I was just a waiter. And, you know, or I, you know, worked at Barnes and I didn't work at Barnes and Noble. I worked at Borders as a bookseller. You know, and those jobs I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And they engaged my brain in a different way so that I could leave that job completely behind. And then I could write, or I could work with an artist, or I could work with a writer, or whatever, or I could study. I was doing a lot of, you know, I was going back to school at that time, and I was developing course curriculum for Webster University and stuff like that. And I could do that fairly easily because the work I was doing during the day or at night, in some cases, wasn't real taxing on that part of my brain. That part of my brain didn't feel exhausted when I was done.
Right.
So that was the benefit at the time, was it provided enough income that I could live okay, and I had the energy to do these other things. So that's sort of one way you can look at it, is what job is not going to make it harder for you to work when you're not at your job than the other kinds of jobs I've heard people, you know, talk about, is they got a job that's related or would somehow help them in their comics career. And, you know, not that you just snap your fingers and you're a lawyer, but a lot of folks that were, you know, a couple of people that I know that were lawyers, you know, they're like, yeah, it's great because I don't have to hire a lawyer to look at a contract.
Right. Or if you're a designer, you can design your own book trade dress.
Right. Right. There's a lot of designers that turn writer or artist, you know, and that, so on the other hand, you can go, well, actually I want to do something that's related and that I could, you know, while I'm at work, I'm actually helping at least in some aspect, you know, theoretically improve my comic making skills. So, you know, graphic designer, obviously, lawyer, sure. You know, but then there are also those professions that, you know, like I think the other one I said was I know a doctor that turned to comics, but, you know, in his case, you know, if he writes some, you know, medical thing, like he doesn't do what they do in Hollywood. In Hollywood, they literally just write medical in a script. And then they hire a doctor to come in and actually put words that theoretically make sense there, or at least sound like they do. Whatever, if you're an engineer, you know, it's going to help because you're going to, you know, all of those things help. And your life experience as a waiter, you know, I've had lots of customers, aspects of customers find their ways into my comics. So that's sort of the second one, is the job that actually, you know, applies, whether, you know, directly or a little bit indirectly towards your comic making goal. And then the other sort of way I've seen it is somebody that does a job that's intensive but pays really well, right? So they go, well, I can make a lot of money doing this thing that I really don't like and I am kind of exhausted. Usually they don't really like it. That's been my experience. But they can make a lot of money, which then means that they can stop working at some point, or they can finance their own comic and they don't have to worry about financing. So, and you know, that's obviously easier said than done. I think if we all knew, like, well, I could just do this thing and I'll make a ton of money, then we'd probably at least do that for a while till we, you know, felt, you know, more financially secure or whatnot. But those are sort of the three takes that I have seen work. On that last one, the major pitfall is that once you start making a fair amount of money, our culture tells you that you should always make more money. Mm-hmm. And it becomes harder and more demanding. And at some point you need to take stock and go, I don't want to be spending 60 to 80 hours a week doing this thing that I don't really enjoy.
Right.
So that's the pitfall of that, the potential pitfall of that one. And obviously that's not true for everybody. There are some people that have jobs where they make a lot of money and they love their work, in which case, awesome. You know, then make comics when and if you can, because you've got a really good thing going there and you're ahead of the pack. You know, and then on the flip side is if you're not making more than you need, put it that way, more than you need to live, then it becomes very difficult to find the time to really devote to comics or to find the money if you're making your own comics. It's especially true for writers if you're going to pay for artists. So that was all stuff that I did when I was trying to become a teacher of comics, an editor of comics, and a writer of comics. You know, that was all, or I didn't do all those things because I've never hit that jackpot that jackpot job yet.
Right.
I'll let you know if I do by announcing my retirement from everything. So those are things that I've sort of seen a lot of other people do, and sort of with the first one, the job where you're not exhausting your that part of your brain or whatever. Most of those jobs I've heard about have been writers,
right?
And you know, one of the things that keeps coming up is that on those jobs they wind up coming up with a ton of ideas. And I sort of look at it like exercise. You know, when you're exercising, your brain's really engaged. And it's sharp and it's coming up with new things, and you're listening to music and ideas are coming up to you or whatever. And, you know, an exercise has an effect. And I feel like a job like that has a similar effect. You know, when I was working at Borders, like I would get ideas constantly for stories. And it wasn't because I was sitting there plagiarizing books. But, you know, just I'm active and I've got some prolonged time where I'm not really needing to talk to anybody else, and I can and I'm moving, but I'm also able to think and actually think for a while.
Right.
And I think that's been very helpful for a lot of folks. And that's what I do now. Like, you know, the most time, you know, I've got two kids, and the most time I get where I can do that is working out. And it's funny, I recently switched to swimming. And so I go swimming in the mornings, and I didn't really think about it, but I'm not listening to music like I do when I'm like, you know, running or whatever. And so, but with swimming, I realized this the other day, that even with swimming, I'm still doing the same thing. I'm swimming laps, but I'm thinking about stories and all kinds of other stuff. So it kind of doesn't matter what you're doing, as long as you get that time and you're able to engage that way. So I feel like I've kind of gone off a little bit, but But those are the options. And so what I would say is, from, you know, to make this a little bit more personalized, obviously I don't know everybody's situation, but what you want to do is you want to look at your situation. You want to look, take stock of where you are, what you want to be doing, what you can do, and maybe take a look at the sort of those three broad categories that I kind of outlined there and go, does one of those fit me better than the others? Like, you know, can I go do the thing that makes a lot of money, or can I do the thing that doesn't engage me, or is there something that I'd like to do that'll earn me the money I need to live and will help me either right away or down the line with making comics if that's something I think I really want to do? And let's be fair about this and honest about it. You know, making comics, being a comics creator, being a comics professional does not have to mean that that is your primary source of income. And that's okay. A lot of folks whose names you see in comics, it is not their primary source of income. Or even if it is their primary, it's more than 50% of their income, there's a lot that they do that supplements that income.
Right.
Right. And so there really aren't that's a big group of the comics professionals that you see. I mean, clearly somebody like Brian Bendis, who is writing several issues a month, clearly if he just wanted to do comics, he could just do comics, right? So there are those people that do get enough work and can do that kind of thing, or their creator own book takes off and is a hit. But but the majority of names you're seeing in comics, it's not the only way they make money.
And to not to go down another rabbit hole that we were talking about before we started recording, but sometimes comics is what lets you get into other creative fields or expand on what you're doing because you've done comics, because you either get seen or have a reputation or do a certain kind of thing, or whatever natural progression leads you to different opportunities. And I guess I try to look at it that way, where I've got a day job that I really do love, that I spent time and effort building, and I would always, in least unless you do, you know, give an example of like a Brian Michael Bendis, it seems like I always kind of want to do my day job of writing and directing videos with clients, with comics in there as a healthy bit too. And it's funny, when you first start off as a kid, you're like, I want to do X and Y, and you can only be a fireman, you can only be a veterinarian, you can only be an astronaut. And then you realize that, yeah, I can kind of do a bunch of stuff that I like. Maybe I'll try that. And it sounds like, at least for the way the topic kind of kicked off, I don't know, we don't have a lot of other information from Levi about his background, if just starting to do some comics, but that is kind of the nice thing about it, is you can get in at different levels and, you know, try different levels of commitment, whether it's I'm just writing some short stories, or, you know what, I really want to try to kickstart a 4-issue miniseries, or whatever you're doing. I'm going to do my own webcomic. You have so many different avenues to kind of start your comics career, or to continue, or to try stuff, or to pick up and do again.
Yeah, and there are little things too. Like going back to before I had gotten a staff job at Marvel. You know, I was working at that Borders bookstore, and when my general manager found out that I wrote and drew my own comics and, you know, did some stuff in the creative fields, my job there changed. You know, and so he thought that was really neat, and he turned out that he was a comics fan. And so, I mean, the obvious thing that happened is I wound up being put in charge of the graphic novels section and making sure that it was organized, which, by the way, those sections are rarely organized.
By alphabet, by publisher, by genre.
Well, that was the thing, is Borders had never figured out how to put them together. And when you have somebody that doesn't, you know, how to organize them, and when you have somebody that doesn't really care, you know, every other section was done by author.
Right.
But you have multiple authors on a book, it's a little hard. So anyway, I'm digressing. But so like I was put in charge of that, but then I was put in charge of the periodicals, in charge of all the magazines, because I had at least some understanding of how that business worked, just because I knew comics and I started studying them and dealt with them. And you know, and then I started writing promo material for the store and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, you're right. Like, doing comics changed the job I was currently in, and it didn't mean I went and got a new job in that field, but it meant that I was put in charge of more communication type style things, or was contributed to that. I mean, I think that may have happened naturally on its own, but it certainly was a contributing factor. And so it's interesting, you know, when people find out that you're creative, even if you're in a larger company that has different aspects, if they find out that you do creative stuff, they may start, you know, that might start helping you change a job that maybe is a little blasé into a job that is more interesting for you because of that. So, you know, but I mean, that's, you know, that's the thing. I mean, if you love making comics, then make comics and you're in the club. I mean, it's not, I don't want to say it's easy to be somebody that makes comics, because it's not. It's hard work and it takes determination. But if that's what you want to do, then the best way to do it is by making comics. And I mean, it sounds silly, right? But make comics and be a part of the club. Like, nobody gives you an ID that says you're part of the comics club now, and you are if you're doing it. You're a pro if you're making comics. So so yeah, and it's fine to be doing other things. There's no disgrace in that, and there's no, I mean, you know, I've been in comics since 2002 was when I was hired at Marvel as an assistant editor. So certainly since 2002, I've been in comics, but I was making my own little comics, and I was teaching at Webster University in St. Louis courses on comics and designing curriculum for them for a couple of years prior to that even. So I've been doing this 16, 17 years. I've been making, you know, some of my income at least off of doing comics or teaching comics or whatever. And, you know, 17 years later, 16, 17 years later, and I still do other things. I write children's stories. You know, I've written children's stories in Star Wars books and some of the Marvel stuff coming out of Disney, you know, Spider-Man, you know, storybook collections and stuff like that. And I do consulting work, and I've written video games and all that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't be doing any of that if I hadn't started in comics. And I like it all. So there it is.
In conclusion, get a job in comics. I think that's the...
In conclusion, make comics.
Well,
which fits in with a podcast. And, you know, if we're talking about... I should bring this up because we actually just posted this two days ago. But if you're interested in making comics that are good and doing it with some financial rationale, which is to say you're not going to break your bank, we got a master seminar that we just listed. Master seminars are when we get, you know, somebody from the comics industry to drill down deep on a subject for several hours, and they're for one day. We've got a master seminar that we just posted called Building Your Comic Project with Jim Zub. And Jim, if you don't know his work from D&D or Skull Kickers or any of the number of things that he's worked on, he's a talented writer. He knows every aspect of making comics, but he has, and you can go to his website, his blog, there are some articles that he's put up there that get reposted on, shared all the time, about the economics as an individual creator, making your own creator-owned project. How do you get it out there? What are the common pitfalls? How do you avoid them? How do you overcome all these things? And he's going to do this one-day seminar on October. It's on Saturday, October 29th, so it's at the end of next month. And he's going to do this seminar on everything that he has learned. And this is a guy that has built his comics career by doing, learning from what he does, recalibrating, and coming at it smarter over and over. And, you know, he's going to go through this whole thing and hopefully help all of us skip through a lot of the having to recalibrate part. Because often that comes with financial ruin.
Not financial ruin,
but it comes with, you know, some sort of financial hit or creative hit or whatever. And so, you know, I mean, Jim and I have been talking about doing this for a long time. And so, you know, I know what he's going to cover. And there's parts of it that, like, I'm really looking forward to I personally am looking forward to hearing him
And it
talk.
is he you summed him up really well. It is a dollars and cents approach. He's one of the guys that produces content about his own work where you can see graphs. He puts together charts and graphs of sales numbers and looks at it over periods of time. And hey, I'm going to release Skull Kickers online free, a page at a time. And then he'll trace the impact that has on convention sales and asking people, some of it anecdotally, where did you find us? Oh, I've been reading you online. I really wanted to pick up the trade because of how much I loved it. He's a guy that is always looking to, like you said, recalibrate and figure out what's working, how do I best engage with my audience. And his site, by the way, is jimzub.com, JimZub.com, if you're curious about Jim and don't know him. He's also very active on social media, where he'll engage and talk a lot about the work as well. So that sounds like a pretty great opportunity to interact with Jim and get his thoughts on on comics and making comics.
Yeah, and we're gonna have, yeah, I mean, we'll have a dedicated, Q&A part to our master seminar and everything. If you're interested in the master seminar, go to comicsexperience.com and click on courses, and it's one of the first ones that'll pop up. You can read all about it, and it's online, so you can take it from theoretically kind of anywhere.
And in addition to his writing, he also works at a college. So ties a little bit into the episode overall.
That's true. He does quite a bit of teaching. Yeah, and a great guy, and one of the things that one of the biggest reasons why I approached him was because of how open he is, and I think that's so important, that if you're going to do this kind of thing, you got to be open and you got to be willing to talk about things that didn't work and why they didn't work and what can you learn from them, and so I'm excited about this one, and it seems to apply. At least partially to our topic today. The other thing that I should probably mention, because we're in September and New York Comic Con is coming up, is that I'll be there and you, Joey, are debating being there, as I understand it.
No,
You may
I'll
be there.
also be there. I'll
Oh,
totally
okay.
be there. Who doesn't love going to New York with a 17-month-old? No, I think I might be bringing special guest, and we'll see what the policy is on New York Comic Con letting you in with special guests that might be babies.
I think usually they allow that.
Actually, I do need to look that up and make sure. But no, I'm excited for everything that's lined up comics experience wise, and it's always a nice show on the East Coast to catch up with folks. We're talking about that a little bit offline too, on why do you go to convention? And in the case of comics experience, kind of the big umbrella for me, it's to go see friends and not necessarily the rest of the programming tracks. I tend to look at stuff and go to different panels, figure out what's there. But boy, it really a lot of times just boils down to I really want to be around people that I know and meet people that I don't know. And like you said offline, you just sometimes you want to say, "Hey, I really like your work," and get to meet somebody and have a conversation.
Yeah. In fact, this year I am not going. I've had a booth or a table for the last 3 years in a row, and this year I decided not to do that because I missed my freedom of being able. I realized I wasn't seeing as many people. I would see a lot of random people, and I don't have anything against random people, but there would be people there that I wanted to catch up with or I wanted to talk with, and I just wouldn't get a chance because I was so tethered to the table. So I do it. We're doing a Breaking Into Comics panel, and I'm doing a sort of a budgeting panel, which it's actually the same panel, Breaking In and Budgeting, and on, I think it's on Sunday, maybe it's on Saturday, I'm doing a parents and kids come in and make a comic. It's like an hour-long thing where I'm gonna have kids with their parents there make a comic, but also sort of teach the parents, how to sort of inspire your kids and make comics with them in an encouraging way that also sort of points them in the right direction for making comics. And so it's actually for the adults and for the kids, and it's pretty fun because the kids, they actually walk out with a one-page comic that they've done,
Nice.
which is pretty cool, and they always get a kick out of it. So
Nice.
yeah, we'll be do there. We'll be doing some things. I'll be stuttering apparently. We'll be doing some stuff, but I'll be walking around on the floor. So if you've, if you see me, stop me and say something. Say hi.
Excellent. Go check out the panels and check out all the programming that New York Comic Con has to offer, which is varied and interesting. I think you literally can always find something. And I know that a couple years ago, I set out because I specifically had a goal of talking about kickstarting, and I was about to kickstart a comic, and just looked at for the Kickstarter panels and looked for similar panels like Andy is going to be hosting. Excuse me, about making comics and budgeting comics, because, gosh, in getting into the dollars and cents, and not to keep plugging the Jim Zub seminar, but man, when you start to get into those numbers and really take a look at it, it can inform so much of your approach, all tying back into that day job, all tying back into how are you looking to do comics, and, you know, making those choices of what do I really want to work on and how do I want it to be a part of my life. And I've certainly found it helpful, and frankly, I've always found New York Comic Con conversations helpful. So many stand out just from talking to people that I've just met or people at their table that I've known for a while. And it's great for checking out where your perspective is and hearing where your friends and acquaintances and other people in the industry are, and, you know, what they think and how they juggle all the things that a lot of us are juggling, jobs and life and children and everything in between, and occasionally getting a comic out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that that covers it well. If you have a question that you'd like to hear talked about on the show, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. You can also tweet @comicexperience on Twitter, and we will talk about the question here on the show. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time, keep making comics.